and welcome. It's Father's Day today, and so before we open up God's Word this morning, I want to recognize all of our fathers here today. We've got lots of fathers. I think there's only one, other than the women, of course, there's only one here today that is not a father. Also to all of the, I guess, to also to to those who are joining us today through the internet, hope you have a wonderful day. You know, fathers are very important people. The role of a father really is when you really stop and you sit down and you just take thought as to a role the father plays in our lives. It's so vast. It's huge. You know, like you can just jot down. It does us good to do this, these little exercises. You know, I was sitting there thinking of all the things yesterday that a father does, you know. And here's some of the things I came up with, and I know this is just a few. Fathers are providers. Fathers are protectors. Fathers are teachers. Fathers are counselors and advisors. Sometimes they are helpers. Sometimes they are correction officers. And they are always role models and leaders. And at times they are comforters and even friends. Well, that's just a few. You might be able to come up with a whole lot more. They are always ready to strengthen and to support. Now, when I speak of a father, obviously I'm speaking of this towards their children, because it's your children that makes you a father. But this is their role. This is their vast roles. Now, have I missed anything that's really important? So they're always ready to support, to strengthen, but most importantly, they love unconditionally and prize above all else their children. That's a definition of some of the of what makes up a dad. Dads, can I hear your see your hands? You're all looking at me like, ooh, is that really who I am? And you know, even if all of us here today in this room as dads have not lived up to all of these standards that I've just, all of these wonderful virtues that I've just read out, I'm going to tell you there's no perfect fathers on the earth. No perfect earthly fathers. And make no mistake, the most important attribute that a father can have is love. It is the one thing that will stand out to your children, and it will stand the test of time. For the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4 says that love covers a multitude of sins. And fathers can go wrong, and sometimes they go off, and they're not always right on the money. But love covers that all up. And at the end, in the end, as children, what you really remember is the love. So take heart this morning, fathers. God's not expecting you to be perfect. Your children aren't expecting you to be perfect. But they remember the love. So today, we honor and give thanks for our earthly fathers, because they will always, always, always have a special place in our hearts. You know, in the world, or in the earth, or to others, let's put it that way, your father might be known as Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Schmaltz. He might be known as the boss or an employee. He might be known as a coach or even a pastor, maybe an insurance broker, maybe your janitor, your weatherman, your mailman. But to you, he will always be Dad. Sounds like a big job, doesn't it? You know, what are we thinking? I'm sure many of times men, fathers have asked themselves that question, what was I thinking? How could I have ever wanted to be a father? In other words, what's in it for a dad? Think about that. What's in it for a dad? We know, and I'm sure Donnie can attest to this fact, he just had a little one, his first one, a couple of weeks ago, that when that child arrives, life is never the same. Your life changes forever. You will never be able to go back to the way it used to be. And there are times as we're raising our children and as we're going through all the different stages, we do ask ourselves, why? Why did I choose this? This is forever. So what's in it for me? What's in it for the dads? And I'm sure many of you have asked that question. What was I thinking when I had children? Or why did I ever have children? And you're all looking at me so piously, like nobody's ever had that thought. If you say you didn't, you're lying. But you know what? If you can answer that question, why? What was I thinking when I had a child? But if you can answer that question, then you can really understand the heart of your Heavenly Father. You can answer that question. You can understand God's heart. The Bible says, all earthly fathers derive their name and their title from the Father God. Ephesians tells us that. Our Heavenly Father, who the Bible says is Father of us all. And I'm sure you've asked the question many times too, and especially as you look out at some of the stuff that goes on in the world and has gone on for centuries, and you ask yourself, why did God create human beings? Like, why? Why would he have created us? We're nothing but trouble. And you know, knowing God had need of nothing, God was complete in who he was. He didn't need anything. And yet he chose to create all of us, all of humanity. You know, why would you want that headache? Why would God choose that headache? It was his choice. But the Bible tells us in Revelations chapter 4, verse 11, that our Father has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So you can know that you were created, the whole human race was created for God's pleasure. God took pleasure not only in creating you, but you were created for a continuation of God's pleasure. And you know what? We choose to have children for the same reason. For our pleasure. I mean, maybe some people in their twisted way think they have children to help work on the farm. They want another laborer. But ultimately, we choose to have children for our pleasure. For what? For relationship. That's what life, you know, just think about it. Life is all about relationships. If we didn't have relationships, can you imagine? I mean, all the pain comes from relationships. You know, you might lose a loved one. You might, I mean, people affect us. In fact, it's what makes you who you are. We were created for relationship. And so you have children, ultimately, for your pleasure, but for relationship. There's pleasure. There can be great pleasure in relationship. In other words, when I say relationship, to share life with. Can you imagine if you were all alone and you were sitting in the most beautiful place on the face of the earth? Not another human being anywhere except you. What what good is, like, you just want to, whenever you see something beautiful, you take a picture. Why? Why do you need to take, well, to share it. Things are much greater when they're shared. You can be sitting there and looking at the most beautiful thing, but if you have nobody to share it with, I mean, human nature is to share goodness. I mean, you, I've said this before, you win a lottery. What's the first thing you do? Do you just sit back and like, woohoo, and be all, no, you grab the phone. You can't wait to share your good news. That life is to be shared, and especially good news in life is to be shared. And so life would be really, you wouldn't care. If you were the only one on the face of the earth, you wouldn't care if you won a lottery. There wouldn't be a lot of excitement in it. Life takes on a whole new meaning when we share, when we have people to share life with. It must be an awful thing to feel all alone and to feel lonely. So we were created to share life with God. God is life. He's got so much. I mean, what good is love? We say God is love. If God cannot give love, love is something that you give away. You know, there's no point saying I am filled with love and you never love a person. What good is love? So God is love. And so he created us to be the recipients of his love. Just like you as parents, you have children. They are going to be recipients, beneficiaries of your life, of your love, of all that you have. And there's joy in that. When we think about it, we might go, duh. Like, really? There's joy in that. Now, I'm not telling us here this morning things that we don't already know. But so many of us see God, maybe not so much here, but I know many people in the world, and even in different churches, they see God as a mystery. One whom no one really can know. How can you know God? You've never seen his face, never touched him. But you know that every true earthly father's heart is really in nature, or by nature, the very heart of our Supreme Father. And sometimes when you're thinking about God and, well, gee, how does God see this? Think about it in this light. How do I, as a loving father of my children, see it? What would I do? What would I be willing to do? What would be the thing that a father who loves does? Sometimes we think God is, oh, no, he doesn't understand our human feelings for our children. But the Bible even says if you, being evil as you are, know how to be good to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father is good to you. And so God is not a mystery where we're concerned. He is our Heavenly Father. And by nature, earthly fathers have that same desire on the inside of them to be good to their children, to help their children, to do all things for the benefit of their children. How much more our Father? We don't have to doubt our Father and his love for us or the things that he wants to do for us. So, but we put God in this mystery box. No, you cannot, you know, you can't know God. He was the very first father. He's the one who invented fatherhood. He created Adam and Eve. And of course, we know the story. We're not going to go there for the sake of time. But Adam and Eve were his children. And he loved to commune with Adam and Eve. I mean, that was the highlight of God's day. I really believe that. And then, of course, the fall happened. And one day he came to fellowship with them. And they were gone. Imagine if your child just takes off, disowns you, just, sorry, I got to get on with my life. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm going to make it on my own. That would hurt the heart of a parent terribly. And yet, I mean, it does happen. But that's basically what Adam and Eve did to God. And so he was the first father, and he suffered the loss of his first two children. You'd think he would have maybe stopped after that and said, okay, that this didn't work. But no, he had a plan to get not only his first two back, but all of those who came through those first two as well. So God is known by many titles to many people. Just like I said, fathers might be known to others, but to you, he's always your dad or your father. And it's the same with God. God is known to many people. To some people, he is the Almighty. He is a higher power. He is creator of all. He is all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful. He's all-holy. He is the Most High. And all of these things are true about our Father. But to you, he isn't the creator. He isn't the Almighty. To you, he's Abba Father. Just like in a family. That might be Mr. Schmaltz to somebody else, but to my kids, that's Dad. And you need to see God in that light. He might be all of those things, yes. Those are titles he has. But to me, he's Abba Father. What does the word Abba mean? Everybody should know that. It is the Hebrew word for daddy. Not only is he your father, he's your Abba Father. That speaks of something close. Daddy is close and personal. Little children call their fathers daddy. They don't call them father. If you heard Parker saying to Joshua, father, I would think there's something wrong with him. Children call their daddy, their dad's daddy, not father. Oh, father, come help. No, it's, oh, daddy, or papa. Papa is also, it's a form of endearment. And so the Bible tells us he's our Abba Father. He's not just father, you know, oh, heavenly father. I mean, we approach God like he's some sort of a, no, he's your daddy. In the natural, how would you approach your earthly dad? Would you go up to him and say, oh, father? He would think there's something wrong with you. Come on, really, shake it off. Like, this is me you're talking to, he would say. Why are you addressing me like I am a stranger? So to you, God's children, and me, he is Abba, daddy, father. Now this morning, after having said all that and just kind of building a bit of a foundation for where I want to go, I want to bring out two truths from the Word of God that's going to make all the difference to life, to your life. And both of these things have to do with Abba, or God being, seeing God as our daddy, and not just as, you know, the creator or, you know, the judge of all. We need to see God as daddy, and how important it is for us to make that connection, to see God as Abba Father. Did you know that above all else, our Heavenly Father wants each and every one of us to know him above all else? You know, many times you come before God and say, oh God, what could I do? What can I do? What great thing can I do for you? And the one thing that God wants from each and every one of us is a relationship. But you can't have a relationship with someone you don't know. If we're addressing him as Father, that tells God you really don't know his heart yet. You're not comfortable around him. And whom you're not comfortable, how many of you guys like to spend time, a lot of time, with people you're not comfortable around? None of us. And you know, in life, there's lots of people we're not comfortable around. And I mean, it's not that we ignore them or we don't, but we wouldn't seek them out. We love to spend time with people whom we can be ourselves and whom we're very comfortable around. Who we don't feel like are judging us or examining us for fault, or, you know, we like to relax and just be who we are. God wants us to have that type of a relationship with him, to be comfortable around him, to love to spend time with him. So God wants more than anything for us to really know him. The Bible says the true God. To know the truth about who he is. Do you know that every moment of your life, he's been with you. He knows every moment you've ever lived. He wants you to know him like he knows you, the Bible says. He's been there every moment, even when you didn't know he was there a long time ago. He was there when you were created in your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says he saw your substance even before it was formed. All the days of your life were already pre-written. Wow. He knows every moment of your life. He was there. He knows every thought you have ever thought. He knows every disappointment, every tear you've ever shed, every sadness you've ever experienced, and every joy that you've ever tasted. He is felt. He was there. And as much as he knows us, and that sounds like he knows us. The Bible says you can hide nothing from God because he knows it all. And as much as he knows us, he wants us to know him. Wow. Imagine knowing God in that way, that you honestly know his thoughts, his every thing that goes on in his heart. Do you think God ever is sad? I believe he is. I believe God is, we're made in his image. And some of the emotions we go through, he goes through. But he's sad because of our sadness. He rejoices when we rejoice. We are really connected more than we realize. So as much as he knows us, he wants us to know him. Because that's why you were created, for that relationship. So Christianity is not a religion. We always say, oh, Christianity is a relationship. But do we really understand? Or is it just a little cliche that we use? Christianity is not a religion. It's not following a certain set of rules and regulations. Is that what a family is? Someone who belongs into a family tree, is that what your family's all about? It's all about following the rules? Mom's going, yes. No, it's about building a relationship with your children. And yes, along the way, you might give them some rules, but it's for their good, right? Because you love them and you want to keep them safe. But aside from all of that, your main goal and purpose is to enjoy them, to live your life, to share it with them, to have a relationship. If at the end of your days, after you've raised 10 kids and you don't know any of them and you have no relationship, you would feel like a total and utter failure. So relationship is important. Even as parents, we want to have a good relationship with our children. So being a Christian is not following a set of rules. That's not what makes you a Christian. Or belonging to a certain church or a certain denomination. You know, we've used this before. Standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just like coming to a church doesn't make you a Christian. But a Christian, the true meaning of Christianity is relationship. One who knows God. And one who is known of God. But the first thing I want to share with you this morning here is, did you know that according to the scriptures, because many people have this idea, you can't know God. You know, we always speak about God in some sort of a mysterious, well, you just never know what God is going to do. We have no idea why this happened, but someday we will find out. We have this idea that God is leaving us in the dark, that we can't know God. Oh my goodness, how can we ever fathom or understand God? Because he does things that are so beyond And when we see it, we don't, you know, but God knows it all. He's got everything so intricately worked out. We could never comprehend God. But I want to share from the scriptures that you and I and every person alive can know God better and more intimately than any other person on the face of the earth. That is scripture. Don't give me this. You can't know God. God is a mystery. Because somehow, even us knowing that truth and having heard it, we have in our heads this idea that God is a hard person to understand. You know, how many times are you crying out to God and say, God, I can't hear you speaking, and you're thinking, well, I didn't hear God. And when we do hear God, the lights go on and we go, yes, God spoke to me. God should be you should be speaking back and forth. Communication between you and your Father should be all day, every day. Now, first of all, I want you to think of someone in this life who you're really close to. Someone whom you feel so comfortable around, you don't need words when you're with them. Someone who you feel knows you so well. Now, that person might be your spouse. It might be your mother, your father. It might be a best friend whom you just like in your heart, you know that person, or at least you feel you do. Now, just imagine that person and the relationship that you have with that person. And with God, you can have a relationship that is 100 times more intimate than that person. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. And we need to know that truth. And I know there's many of us that feel that's not true. How can we know God? He is a spirit. We're in flesh. How is it that we could know God? Just like we know our spouses. You know, sometimes as you grow in age and you're married for years, you actually sometimes think you're reading each other's thoughts. We have the same thoughts at the same time. How many times has that happened? That's happened lots to Cameron and I. He'll look at me and say, I was just thinking that, and I would go and do it or whatever. Many times. Kind of scary. They even say after a while you start to look alike. Oh, I want us to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Anybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. That's our hearts, guys. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Sounds like a surprise, an amazing surprise. Ear has never heard, eyes have never seen what God has planned for those who love him. But, verse 10, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The word searcheth, what does it mean? It is the Greek word enunao. I think that's how you pronounce it, enunao. And it means to inquire or to seek out. But the interesting thing is this. It's taken from the root word, I think you pronounce it, ereo. And this means to utter, to speak, to say, to tell. So the Spirit searcheth the deep things. The Spirit searcheth all things. So he inquires into all things. And then he speaks all things. He utters all things. He investigates and then he utters it. He speaks to your heart of the deep things of God. What does the word deep mean? The bottomless. It means to go down. When you look it up, or the profound things. Profound is the things not easily understood. When something is profound, it's not easily grasped. So the Spirit of God, first of all, it says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, when God has planned for you, when you love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the Spirit who searches diligently, investigating into the things of God and utters the things of God into our hearts. The things that are profound, things too hard to be grasped or understood. Verse 11, and this is where I want to go. For what man really knows the things of a man except the Spirit that is in him? What is that telling us? What man knows the things of another man except the Spirit that is in the other man? In other words, you can never really know another man. You can never really know another person. Have you ever never heard the saying, I thought I knew him? Man, I guess you just don't know. You never can really know another person. And that's the truth. But you can know God. You can never know another person. As well as you think you know your spouse, your best friend, your mom, your dad, you don't know them. You can never know, because it is the Spirit, only the Spirit of that person knows that person. You can never know what's in the heart of another man, for sure, never. But we have the Spirit of God, and we can always know of a certainty, assuredly, the heart of God. We can be more intimately close with God than we can with any human being on the face of the earth. We're not going to ever stand someday and say, whoa, I thought I knew him. Even so, the Bible says, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Where is the Spirit of God? In your spirit, your one spirit with him. So guess who knows God? You do. You know God. You can know God as much as you know yourself. So we need to get that idea out of our heads that, oh, God is hard to reach. God is hard to understand. I speak to him, but he's not speaking back. Any more than you yourself speak back to you. Even any more than you yourself know you, you can know God. Why? Because his Spirit is in you. And no man knoweth another man or knows what is in the spirit of another man. Same way, no man knows God except by the Spirit, and the Spirit is in us. And so let that go on record, that we can know God better than we can know any other person on the face of the earth. So we need to settle that. Then it goes on to say in verse 12, now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Drop down to verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ by the Spirit. These are things that we need to gain confidence in. I have the mind of Christ. There is so much power in that. Sometimes we doubt our minds, especially as we get older. Our minds get... You need to know you have the mind of Christ. You are one spirit, and your mind, your emotions, and your will are all connected with your spirit, and your spirit is one with Jesus. So we need to understand that and have an expectancy of the mind of Christ. Amen? Have that expectancy. Don't think in your head, oh, I can't do that, I can't go there, and I don't understand. And No. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. You hear the voice. What does the Bible say? Now in the New Covenant, God says, you have need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit himself is in you. The one who takes the things that are of God and shows them unto you. The one who shows the things to you that God has freely given to you. All the wonderful things God freely has given us. I don't know why we were so dull in hearing. But at the end of the day, deep down, all of us here who have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we know one thing, God is good. We may not be able to understand how or why or how to put it all together, but there's something on the inside of us that knows God is all good. He's out for my all good. And that's why sometimes when we sit under some teachings and it doesn't sound like God's out for your good, something on the inside of you, you kind of just, you're not at peace. It's scratching. It's not the truth about God. How many times have we sat and heard lies about our Father? That's why the Bible said, blessed are the feet of those who proclaim the good news. What is the good news? The goodness of God. I mean, even your children, how would you feel if your children were speaking lies about you as parents? Well, you know, my dad, oh yeah, he's great, but you know, you got to watch this part. If you don't just do it exactly the way he says it, he's going to blow up and he's going to, you know, I mean, does that make you as a father feel? No, but when you have your children out there and they're just sharing about, man, my dad, he is the greatest. He does no wrong. He's blah, blah, blah. And you can go on and on and on. Now that blesses the heart of the father, because in the eyes of his children, that's how they see him. And it's the same with us. God wants us to glorify him, to exalt him, make him big and beautiful in the eyes. Speak great things to others about who he is, so that they want to know him too. The moment you and I believed on Jesus, we were made to be one in the Spirit with him. Joined, how long? For all eternity. Like I said to the girls, we can no longer be separated any more than little Charlie can go back to where he came from. He was born into this world. He can't go back. We were born of the Spirit. We were joined with the Spirit of Jesus. We can't go back. It's who we are. It's who we are. And because we are one Spirit in Jesus, his Spirit is now here on the inside of us. Can we know his Spirit? Of course. We can be more close. That's why the Bible says there is one who sticketh closer than a brother, closer than a friend. That's Jesus and his Spirit. You can know him better than you can know anyone else. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, speaking of the Spirit, but we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. We cry. Important. We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry what? Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. That's the first thing, the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, it says the Holy Spirit, it comes in and he's the witness. And what are you crying? What does he say? Judgmental God. Holy Father. No, Abba. He cries on the inside of us. In other words, it's the one thing he wants you to see, that God is your heavenly daddy. And that word carries such a vast, like I began in the beginning, a vast connotation of what it's of all that makes up for our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, notice in this scripture, it says that we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. Flip over to Galatians 4:6 now, verses, 4:4. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, Jesus, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are now sons and daughters, of course, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Who's crying this time? The first time it says, we cry. Here it says, the Spirit cries. What is it? We or the Spirit? Both were one. Do you understand that? Do you see the oneness? A lot of times, you know, we don't realize how close we are, how one we are. The Spirit cries, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. One and the same. We're the same Spirit. So it's important to understand how closely connected you really are. How we can't miss it for missing it. If we really understood. We have so many doubts. So many fears about hearing the voice of God and being led by the Spirit. We need to relax and have an understanding like, wow, how could I ever miss it? I can know God better than I can know my own spouse. And guess what? Your spouse might change his mind. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change his mind. You can rely on him. He's like a rock. He's not going to switch. His mood isn't going to switch. Sometimes your husband there or your wife, they change. And you think, this isn't my wife. What happened to her? Or this isn't my husband. God never changes. He's not schizophrenic. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, it then goes on to say, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How? By crying. How does he bear witness with us that we are God's children? Is it crying? Like I said earlier, repent. Be thou holy, for God is holy. No, he's crying, Daddy. That's what he's crying. That's what he wants to get you to see. That God is your daddy. Without the Spirit of God, did you know we could not know God? Much less know him as Abba. You see, we have a line, a communication line with God that the world doesn't know anything about. And the world may not know you because it doesn't know him. It doesn't recognize who you are because it doesn't know God. And that's why when Jesus came, the scribes and Pharisees didn't know who he was because they didn't know God. And yet they were the ones that boasted that they knew God and everybody else didn't. God is not hiding his identity from any of us. We all have the same spirit. And each and every one of us today can cultivate, can choose, because knowing God is really a choice. You might get born again, and the Spirit is in you, but you still have to, God's not going to force you into a relationship with him any more than a father can force his child into a relationship with him. But each one of us has the right to choose. We said last week, God will never violate your free will. But we have the right to choose to get to know him. But I'm going to tell you, out of all the things that you do in life, this side of heaven, that choice is probably the most important one. And it's going to benefit you far more than any other choice you will ever do. It'll benefit you even more so than if you chose to have a relationship with the prime minister. You know, people sometimes, they like to have relationships with high people, people in high places for their benefit, right? Well, I'll tell you, you want to have a relationship with someone in a high place? There is no one higher than your Father, your Heavenly Father. And he's welcoming you with open arms. And if you wanted to sit in his presence and visit with him every day, 24 hours a day, he'd be only too happy to accommodate you and to teach you and to speak with you and to love on you. So it's really up to us. You know, I mean, in this life, we have, you know, bucket list. Someday I'd like to visit the president. Someday I'd like to speak to whatever. You know, we have people that we put in high places that we would like to someday, or maybe see someone in concert, you know, and that would just be the ultimate. But here we've got the creator of the whole universe who is freely inviting us to come and sit with him as much as we want, get to know him. And you will get to know him. You might think, how does this work? I don't hear with my ear. I can't see him with my eye. How do I know when he's speaking to me? You know what? By faith. you just begin to cultivate that time with him, you will hear him. You will know his voice. And you will be able to identify his voice quicker and quicker and quicker. But he's not going to force us. So we all have the same Holy Spirit, the same, entrance, the same amount of entrance into his presence. I mean, it's wide open for each and every one of us. But we need to cultivate it. Because it's all for our benefit. Yes, God enjoys, and you're created for his. He takes great pleasure in your relationship, having a relationship with you. Yes, he does. Just like any parent takes great pleasure in having a relationship with their children. And knowing that their children care enough to come and continue on with this relationship, right? That gives parents pleasure. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it's just sometimes, like even on a day like today, hey, Dad, hope you have a great day. I'm thinking of you. You know, it's not that we expect them to come and sit in our presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In fact, we'd probably kick them out. But, you know, just knowing that they are important. And God is no different. God is no different. Now, that was the first thing I wanted you to know, that you can know God better than any, and the scriptures prove it, better than any person, because you really can't know another person the way you can know God. And secondly, the second thing I want to show us is found in closing. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Here Jesus is saying his last prayer before he dies. He's talking to his Abba Father, or his Heavenly Father, Daddy Father, however you want to put it. So this is the last recorded prayer of Jesus before he goes to the cross. In verse 1 it says, "These words spoke Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, verse 2, as you have given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given him," or given me, Jesus is saying. So what did Jesus come to give us? He even said, "I've come to give you life, and life abundantly." Jesus came to give us eternal life. Did you know that was his purpose? People say, you know, why did Jesus come? Many people, they say, well, because he came to die for our sins. Well, yes, that's true, but that's not the real answer. The answer is he came to give you life. And in order to give us life, he had to die for our sins. That was part of it, yes. But that wasn't the whole purpose of his coming. Because if you see that as the main objective or of the whole purpose, then you miss the life part. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance." Okay, so verse 2, it says that you have given me power over all flesh, that I could give eternal life to as many as you have given me. And verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal." What is it? "That you might know me," or "that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent." So here Jesus is saying, and this is eternal life, to know God. So by you and I cultivating a relationship with the true God, with Abba, Father, you are really cultivating life itself. That's why I say it would be the most beneficial thing you could ever do this side of heaven. We know that the moment we got saved, we received eternal life. How did you and I receive eternal life? The Spirit. We were joined with Jesus. Jesus is never going to die. Neither will we. We have eternal life because of the Spirit that was imparted into us, who bears witness that we are the children of God, and who is continually crying, "Abba, Father." Jesus himself, he came to the earth, the Bible tells us, to show us Everything Jesus did, everything he said, everything his whole ministry was to show you and I who God really was, the love of the Father. The Pharisees and scribes, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see this God Jesus was talking about. And he always referred to him as my Father, my loving Father. He came here to reveal the Father to us, to our hearts. And in doing so, yes, he went all the way to the cross to demonstrate how much your Father loves you and wants you back. Because we strayed from him. Adam and Eve were the first. We've all followed suit. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory. None of us have sought for God because we didn't think he was worth the knowing. That's what the Bible says. Can you imagine? People know they can know God, but he's not worth the knowing. Are you kidding me? He's worth the knowing. In knowing him, you will find life. And not only just someday in the sweet by and by because I was good down here and I had a relationship. Of course, my Father's going to take me to heaven. No, no, no. He's going to give you life here because eternal life abides in you. And so this is life, eternal life, to know God. What does the word know mean? To know him, to fellowship with him, and experience him. The word know is to taste of him, experience him. When? Just when we die? No, right here on the earth. And so my whole point is this. The more we develop this relationship with God, the more we know him as Daddy Father, the more life you and I are going to experience in this life. And if you want to wait till you get to the next life, I'm okay with that too. But it's available now because it's in us. We already are. We already have eternal life. Why? Because we're not only going to become one spirit with him when we die. We already are. We are the temple. The Spirit of God resides on the inside of us. And so we can have more life this side of heaven. And it all comes through him. This is eternal life. Knowing God. And that's why Jesus came, to reveal his Father to us. Because at that point, we saw God as a judge, as someone that was hard and, you know, he's out to get you. He's just waiting for you to mess up. And Jesus had to bring a whole new, you know, he sat and ate with sinners and with, you know, people that were of shady reputation. You know, he was love. He just showed love. No one did he ever turn away when they had a need. He healed them all. He delivered them. He set them free. He opened up blind eyes. There was nothing. We saw that last week. All that came to him received. Why? Because he was the express image of our Father, our loving Heavenly Father. Turned no one away. Everyone was welcome at his table. And everyone received from him. And so if it does nothing else into your hearts, it's to know the truth. And when you know the truth about God, you cannot know God without knowing love. And this is why it will benefit us so much this side of heaven. You cannot know God because God is love. When you finally understand God, what you are going to see is unconditional love that will just blow your mind. In fact, it's so amazing that it's hard for us to believe. That's what grace is. It's hard for us to really believe grace. And when we see God, we see love, right? In other words, to know God is to know his love. This is eternal life, to know his love. And guess what worketh by love? Faith worketh by love. And we know in this lifetime, all things come from God by faith. And to know God is to know love. And it's by your faith. You see, it all works together. You may ask me, how does this relationship, what has it got to do with my earthly life? It has everything to do with it. Everything. God so loved that he sent Jesus. And Jesus' one purpose was to reveal the nature and the love of his Father to us, even through his death by becoming our sin and dying our death, so that we could see the love of the Father and receive that sacrifice as our own. God has made it so easy, but really, Christianity is relationship. The greater the relationship you have with God, the more life you are going to experience this side of heaven. Amen? Amen. I am so glad that he is Abba Father, and not judgmental Father.